I will be reading from the Old Testament, Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. Please follow along if you care, page 50 in your pew Bible. Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led his flock beyond the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of a bush. He looked, and the bush was blazing, yet it was not consumed. Then Moses said, I must turn aside and look at this great sight and see why the bush is not burned up. When the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Come no closer, remove the sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. He said further, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, I have observed the misery of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their cry on account of their taskmasters. Indeed, I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them from the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the country of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. The cry of the Israelites has now come to me. I have also seen how the Egyptians oppress them. So come, I will send you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? He said, I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall worship God on this mountain. The word of the Lord.
So to the children who are still in here, let me see your hands out there looking for the kids. So here's the assignment I want to give you. You have should have a children's bulletin. I want you to draw a picture of Moses and the burning bush. And then after church, Miss Cindy, our director of Christian education, will take pictures of them and we'll post them on our website. So if you guys want to do that, I can't wait to see what you might draw for us. All right, so I think sometimes in all of our lives there are just these kinds of creepy moments, right? That they happen and they're sort of off-putting. Well, one that has just sort of locked itself into my life happened when I was a senior in college. I had flown out to Salt Lake City to visit a friend of mine, and just sort of to set the stage, I grew up with lots of Mormon friends. And what this girl had married, and she'd been a friend of mine, and she invited me to come out and meet her husband and sort of see the city and go to the visitor center at Temple Square. I don't know, have any of you been out to Temple Square in Salt Lake City? Yeah, it's a beautiful place, and the visitor center is this really cool place where they sort of lead you around and they tell you about the history of Mormonism and the theology of the Church of Latter-day Saints. And I was in a group of maybe, I don't know, 25, 30 people, and we had this young woman who was sort of leading us around. And so the tour was over, and we broke up, and we were all kind of headed in our own direction. The tour leader wins her way through the other people and stands right in front of me, puts her finger in my chest, and says, God has something special for you to do. And then she walks off. Doesn't tell me what it is. And my response was, who, me? It's like, you don't know me. I barely believe in God. I'm still wrestling with whether or not I believe in God, and yet you're telling me that God has something special for me to do. So it was just kind of creepy, okay? And I've been thinking about that moment all this week as I was looking at this story of Moses and the burning bush. Because I think for Moses, this has got to be one of those sort of creepy moments. So for those, we're going to do a quick recap of the story so we're all sort of on board here. Moses has fled Egypt, where he was raised. He meets up with this family, the priest of Midian's family. He becomes a shepherd. He has a family, and so he has a nice, cushy kind of job. He hangs out in the wilderness, watches sheep all day. Not the most exciting job, but a good job. And so one day, when nothing else is going on, he sort of looks into the distance, and there is this physics-defying burning bush. Right? Physics would tell us if something's burning, it's being burned up. But not here. This bush is burning, but it's not being burned up. And he thinks to himself, that's interesting. Maybe I'll go take a look. So off he goes, and as he gets near the bush, this voice comes out of nowhere. Tells him to take off his shoes because he is on holy ground. And then the voice introduces itself. I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, and I'm going to let you in on a secret. I've heard the cry of my people, and I'm going to set them free. And at this moment, it isn't creepy yet. This is just fearful. Because it says Moses is afraid, because here is this encounter with this God that Moses has never heard of, never known, never met before. Suddenly, this God is telling him what God's going to do. Okay. So, it's what happens next that I think sort of gets creepy. God says to Moses, I have something special for you to do. I want you to go set my people free. All right, and Moses' response was very much like mine. Who, me? You talking to me? And I can just imagine, you can hear the wheels turning in Moses' head. It's like, God, whoever you are, that I've never met before today, you don't know me real well. You don't know my history. You don't know that I am a wanted man back in Egypt. You don't know that I'm not sure if I'm a Hebrew or I'm an Egyptian. You don't know that I've got this family here and I'm really sort of ensconced in this community. You don't really know me too well, and yet you want me to go and set your people free? And he's overwhelmed by this moment, and if we were to continue reading the next couple of chapters, he argues with God for the next couple of chapters, telling God exactly why it shouldn't be him. Okay? Who? Me? I think in our lives, those sort of moments when someone comes to us and says, I have something special for you to do, can be divided into two categories. Okay? The first category are those moments when someone comes to us and says, I have something special for you to do, and our response is, yes, me. Okay? So you've just started school, and the teacher comes to you and says, I have something special for you to do. I want you to be the line leader. Score. Okay? Yes. I get to lead the class. This is great. And then we get a little older, and so the coach comes to us and says, I have something special for you to do. I want you to start this game. Yes, we are so ready. We're tired of sitting on the bench. We want to be the starter. And later on, someone comes to us and says, I have something special for you to do. I want to give you a new assignment. I want you to take over this position. I want you to move up the ladder. And we're like, yes, I am so ready. I've been ready for a long time for this assignment, and so our response is not, who, me? It's like, yes, me. But then there are those, I have something special for you, who, me? And most of those, I think, have to do with God. Those are sort of the God moments in life. When we get this sense that God is somehow speaking to us and says, I have something special for you to do. I want you to forgive that person who has hurt you so badly. Who, me? I have something special for you to do. As I said to Kate Thorson this morning, I have something special for you to do. I know you're ready for retirement, but you are supposed to start this statewide organization to care for foster children. Who, me? No, I was going to retire. God comes to us and says, I have something special for you to do. I want you to work for justice in the criminal justice system, for better sentencing, for fair treatment. I want you to go to the jail and visit. Who, me? And we know them. They go all over the place. God calls us to go down to Pontiac and Tudor, calls us to work for Focus Hope down in Detroit. Suddenly, this convicting sense of what God wants us to do, and our response is, who, me? Because we're not sure we're up to these things. We're not sure we have the capability. Like Moses, we say, who am I that you want me to do this? All right, so it's in that moment when we get this sense of what we're called to do, that we're given a gift in this text. And that is, Moses says, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you. What happens is that question of who, me, turns into the response of who? Oh, us. It's no longer just me, it's us. Because we are not called to do these things on our own as if we had the full capability of accomplishing these things. It is that God promises to be with us through it all. It's not who me, it's who us. And there's no better place or moment, I think, for us to think about that it's not me but us, than here on this day at this table. Because what this table says is that we can't do it on our own, that we need the presence of Christ in our lives. And so Christ calls us to come to the table to be fed, to be nourished, to be energized, to be strengthened, to find what we need for this call that God has asked of us, this special thing. And not only is it us with us and God, what this table reminds us of is that it's never just us and God. It's us. It's us. Which is why when we baptize, we don't baptize privately, we baptize publicly to say our children, when they're baptized, are part of us, because it takes all of us to raise them and to faith them. It's not just me, it's not just you, it is us. As a community, as the people of God. And my friends, I am absolutely convinced that God has something special for each of us to do. We may already be doing it. Maybe we've done it. And yet I believe God has something special for each of us to do. So here's what I want you to do real quickly. I want you to turn to someone sitting next to you. Don't poke him in the chest, please. and say to them, God has something special for you to do. Come on, come on. Yeah, see, once you get into it, you can't stop. And so my challenge for us on this World Communion Sunday is to go out and find that one special thing that God has for you to do. To ask yourselves, what is it that God is asking of me that together God and I and this community can do to truly transform this world, to set people free, to make a difference in God's creation? Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks that you come to each of us, and that through your voice or the voice of our family or friends or the life of the church or through Scripture, you remind us that you have something special for us to do. Help us to find that one special thing and help us to live it out with your help and the help of your people both here and around the world. In Christ's name, amen. In response